This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. We've been talking through this hour about what Kevin Orr's appointment might mean when he first takes over the new emergency manager for Detroit. Daniel Howes, business columnist at the Detroit News, joins us now as he does most weeks. Daniel, in your column today, you write about bankruptcy as a next step, even after the appointment of an emergency manager. So how is a bankruptcy for a big city different from a business or a personal bankruptcy?
Well, there's a number of differences, and I think listeners need to understand that Chapter 9 bankruptcy has almost never been used in the Sixth Circuit, of which Michigan is one of four states. So we're really, the federal judges who sit on the bankruptcy court would be essentially plowing new ground. A couple of things that are really important. You hear people talking about selling of assets, and that people, the city can be forced to sell assets to pay off creditors, who would include, by the way, pension funds of their own employees and retirees. Under Chapter 9, my understanding is that creditors cannot force the sale of any asset that is owned by the city. Only the city can propose to sell certain assets to turn them into cash. So that's one very big difference. The other thing is that you're talking about a sovereign state here, essentially, because, again, people need to understand there's no such thing as a sovereign city. Detroit is not a sovereign city. The only thing sovereign is the state of Michigan. And any city, township, municipality exists at the pleasure, essentially, of the chief executive or of the state. Which is why the governor, one of the things that underpins the power to do certain things and to step in when the financial situation gets bad. And as we go forward here, you're also going to see, I think, if we get into Chapter 9, that the 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution limits what a federal official can do to a sovereign state. So a judge typically will, as it's been explained to me, rule upon what is brought to him or her. He will not be issuing orders from the bench about certain things that have to happen. He will be issuing orders based upon what is put before him. And the person or persons that is putting something before him is the representative of the debtor, which would probably be the emergency manager. Mm. If you didn't have an emergency manager, it may be, say, the city council or the mayor of the city. So he rules on a situation like that. Now, in the context of my column today, I think what we have here is the emergency manager will be able to do and start to address some real key financial problems facing the city and operational ones. But there are certain things that he probably will not be able to do, and one of the biggest is negotiate and or change pensions that are already vested with retirees. That can be done by a bankruptcy court, and there's been some precedent for it in Rhode Island and some other things where people who've already vested are already drawing their pensions have been ruled that they have to give up a portion of those pensions. That was in Rhode Island. Now, the state laws in each state can be different. So this is really kind of uncharted territory in terms of how the federal judge, who has to keep an eye on the 10th Amendment, what he is able to do vis-a-vis pensions. But I think one of the senses that we got from talking with Eric Scorsone at Michigan State is that if the estimates of the unfunded status of these pension funds is as bad as some of the estimates seem to suggest that it is, mm-hmm. Detroit may not be able to get where it needs to go outside of bankruptcy. Now, I think a lot of experts will tell you that an emergency manager can do a lot that a bankruptcy court could do outside of bankruptcy, but he can't do everything. And I think that's why my sense is that this may be the first step, or that he may be the warm-up act for the main event, which would be a Chapter 9, the largest in American history.
What do you think the stigma would be, and how would it affect the feeling of the city if there is a structured bankruptcy?
Well, we know what the stigma would be, and I think a lot of people have been arguing for some time that Detroit already is bankrupt. This would just be confirmation of it. I think the people in the business community see this as a positive. I've had some people suggest to me that this is what we're talking about here is a technical process. The private sector is investing more and more in the city, foundations, companies. I think that's because they see that conditions are changing. I think Dave Bing has been a bit ineffective as a manager, but I think he's also clearly changed the tone at City Hall. There was a real exclamation point put on that this week with the conviction of Kwame Kilpatrick and others that maybe we're moving into another time here, and I think people are hopeful that that is the case. Will there be a stigma? Of course there will be. But, you know, New York had its problems in the 70s. Cleveland had its problem in the late 70s. Now, they didn't go to bankruptcy and they didn't go to Chapter 9, but they've pushed beyond that and have rehabilitated themselves, particularly the city of New York. I think it can get better. It's not going to be this isn't a destination so much as it is a process.
Okay.
And I think you have a lot of people that are very impatient and think that we can have one solution. I don't think that's going to happen.
What would it feel like, do you think, if you're a resident, you are living in the city of Detroit, you call it home, what would a Chapter 9 bankruptcy feel like for you?
I don't think we really know that yet, because I think there will be some things that will happen before that. And the governor is well aware of the fact that this process is going to require some early wins, some things that people can see. You know, going and renegotiating with pension funds and bondholders on payment schedules is not something that the average resident of Detroit can see. What they can see is if the lights go on. What they can see is if the garbage gets picked up on time. So I think what you're going to have is an emergency manager who's going to focus on tangible things that can improve the lives of average Detroiters. The other thing they can do at the same time is those financial renegotiations with creditors. They can do that, but that's not something that's as tangible to the average Detroiter as just the basics of city services. And as far as Chapter 9, that I think is going to be later in the process. And under Michigan law, the way that would work is the emergency manager would go to the governor and say, my plan is not achievable. We can't get there but for a Chapter 9 filing. It's not a foregone conclusion that it has to happen, but I think experts who look at this think that some of the real big knotty issues, our only way they can manage them is in a federal courtroom.
Daniel Howes, business columnist from the Detroit News, joining us each week, and appreciate your time this time, Daniel. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.